Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. In today's show, we'll be talking about conscious compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we have a special host. I'd like to welcome Dave McKay. Are you there, Dave?
Hey, Michael. Yep.
Great. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Great. Dave, you're the head monk at the Zen Monastery Practice Center in Murphy's, California.
That's exactly right. I'm calling from the monastery right now, as a matter of fact, where we're having a spectacular spring day with wildflowers and sunshine and everything else.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And I heard from Sherry earlier today, and she's stuck in an airport in Colorado, I understand.
Right.
Which is why she can't be with us today. And I wanted to give out our phone number. If you'd like to call us and talk about whatever's on your mind, we'd love to hear from you. Phone number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-514-2100. Phone lines are open. Again, that's toll-free, 888-514-2100. If you'd like to reach us when we're not on the air, you can send us an email to openair@livingcompassion.org. So whether you want to reach us by phone or by email, however you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. Dave, I thought we would kick off our conversation today by looking at what can be difficult times in spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking at that myself, and I was wondering if you could give us a little perspective on what that is.
Well, I was looking at that for myself today, knowing that we might speak about it this evening. And, you know, what I was seeing is that I think probably the hardest part for folks is the expectation that it's not ever going to be hard.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of people I talk to struggle with that there's a belief that, you know, life... You know, if you're doing life right, that's in great big quotes, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
Then, you know, basically you're having an uninterrupted experience of bliss.
Yeah.
Anything short of that, you're doing it wrong. And you know, of course, I mean, maybe some people have that experience, but as far as I can tell, that's not an experience that's available for a human being.
Uh-huh.
Because you know, life, that's just not how life is. You know, life moves and it goes up and down and it goes around and around It seems to me that our opportunity as human beings is not to try to, you know, to get to some kind of a place where we can always feel the way that we want to, but to be open and available to all the kinds of feelings and experiences that are available to a human being, and to find the joy in that.
Uh-huh.
You know, in sort of being a human being with all the different ways that seems.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of times, I mean, what people call hard is actually just life, just life moving, life changing, especially for somebody who's on a spiritual pathway because, you know, a big part of this, of being on a spiritual pathway is moving beyond suffering. And in order to do that, you know, we experience suffering. And, you know, what feels like, you know, this is not what I want, this is difficult, this is painful, this is wrong, that's the place people go with it, I think. What's actually going on a lot of times is, you know, I'm heading in the right direction in a sense, if there is such a thing as the right direction.
Uh-huh.
In the sense that I'm moving beyond what causes me to suffer. And the experiences I'm having are just an indication of that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, it reminds me of what I've heard Sherry talk about, this idea that life should be easy.
Exactly.
And if it's not easy, then I'm doing it wrong, I'm the wrong person, I've made the wrong choices.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a pure setup to feel bad. That's really it all is because, you know, I mean, if you look around, where is life like that? You know, where is life consistent? You know, where is life easy?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not easy anywhere for anything as far as I can tell.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's an opportunity in it that you know, people miss. And I think, you know, this thing that says, well, life should be easy is what, you know, the whole purpose of that is to keep us from missing this opportunity or to keep us missing this opportunity, which is to be life. with all of the different things that that entails. It's a much more kind of subtle and profound way to live, but it's something that's available to all of us. You know, it's way better than getting what I want. For somebody who's really interested in going beyond suffering, you know, feeling good, you know, it's okay for a while. But after a while, I mean, it's like, oh, what's the point? You know, I'd rather have something to work on. I'd rather have something that really pushes me to be present and to be the largest container for compassion I could possibly be.
That's incredible. It's really amazing to hear that perspective. Speaking for myself and the difficulties that I've been looking at recently, you know, it's just totally 180 degrees different from that sort of conditioned reality.
Yeah, it's exactly backwards from the way that we're taught life is all is. And what we're going for. And that's the spiritual life essentially. Is you know, I've been looking at that a lot for myself in the life choice that I've made to be a monk, and you know, the life choice to be a monk is essentially to live a life in the process of life rather than in the content of life.
Yes.
So normally, you know, what most people do is, okay, well, here's my life. The whole point of my life is to get fulfilled in some kind of a way. And the way I do that is try to do it in the content. So I try to do it through my relationship or through my career or through my getting stuff that I think that I want.
Yeah.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but it never produces a profound experience of satisfaction, because satisfaction doesn't come in the content of life. It comes in the process of life. It comes in being willing to step out of something like, I need to be fulfilled, and just be here with what is. Not trying to get something different, but just being here. And I think probably what people call being hard, you know, what's hard is what's not meeting my conditioned expectations.
So what's hard is life happening in a way that doesn't meet the expectations that conditioning has given me.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's a much more powerful way to live because, you know, it really takes all the pressure off. You know, I don't have to get it right. You know, there's no such thing as getting it right. You know, I don't have to have, you know, a lot of people will think that, well, to be, you know, what I'm going for, like, is an experience of happiness, for example. And they equate that with like, you know, emotional thing. You know, there's this feeling that I call happiness, and that's what I'm going for. And so anytime that I'm not having that experience, something's wrong.
Yes.
And, of course, there's no way I'm going to have that particular feeling all the time because I'm alive.
Yeah.
And a part of being alive is having all kinds of different feelings.
Yes.
So if I step back from the attitude of mine that says, okay, well, this is how it needs to be. I need to be having this experience. And I just say, I want to have whatever experience life is giving to me right now.
Wow,
it's such a deeper and really more powerful place to live because I can always remain in a place of well-being. And the well-being is not the same as a feeling. It's not the same as that happiness. It's just a willingness to be open with what is.
So
I can always be having that experience with practice, and you know, it's the work of a lifetime, no doubt.
Yeah.
But with practice, I can always be having that experience, no matter what's happening in the circumstances of my life, and no matter what's happening in my, like, in my emotional world. So I could be feeling sad, I could be feeling frustrated, I could be feeling joyful, I could be feeling anything, and those things are independent from this well-being that's possible.
Wow.
I can be residing in a place of well-being and having all those feelings come and go and arise and pass away, just like the content of life does, arises and passes away.
Incredible. My conditioned mind is just in shock with all of this information. It's probably a good sign.
It probably is.
Let me give out the phone number again. The phone lines are open here. We'd love to talk with you if you want to talk about difficult situations in practice, in life, as we've been talking about, or if you have any other topic. Phone lines are open, and the number is toll-free, 888-514-2100. Dave, I have a number of email questions here.
Okay.
That I thought would be interesting to look at.
Okay, sure.
I've been an avid reader of all of Sherry's books and have recently been contemplating the concept of believe nothing.
Mm.
In the book entitled Suffering is Optional, Sherry encourages us to make a list of the things you know to be true. Her point is, believe nothing. I'm struggling with this concept as I try to apply it to violence and would appreciate any insights. Last June, I fell on a broken glass and came within an eighth inch of hitting my carotid artery.
Mm.
The truth is that this happened. I fell, I had emergency surgery, and now I am incredibly lucky to be still with this world, whether this world is an illusion or not. How can this not be true? How can I not believe that this happened? Another struggle I have relative to, quote, believe nothing, is with people who are abused or living in unsafe conditions. The truth is that they are experiencing this at the point in time that it is happening. How does the abused dissociate from that, especially at the moment it is happening? Thanks very much for sharing and your teaching. They've been a blessing to many lives.
Mm-hmm.
From one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such an interesting question, isn't it? Do we have to, in order to be here and be engaged with life, do we have to believe anything at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I've heard people say that I really enjoy is that humans are meaning-making machines.
Meaning-making machines.
Meaning-making machines, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But that's what we do. We go through life, and this is my little take on it, that because we're so tiny and life is so humongous and we feel so out of control because of that, that we, you know, what we go through life and we attempt to, you know, construct a world that we understand around us.
Uh-huh.
And that's what big thing that we look at in our practices,
yes,
is beliefs and assumptions. That's essentially what they accomplish. And one of the beliefs that people have is, well, if I don't believe anything, then I won't experience reality.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of a little bit of what I'm reading into what was written in that email.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the puzzle is, can I actually be here, meaning in the present moment, experiencing what is without making anything up about it?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it's absolutely possible. It's something that very few people without a lot of practice experience a lot of times, except, you know, sometimes like in a dramatic, like, you know, falling down a piece of glass.
Yes.
And that something like that would, you know, wakes you up, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm here.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's something that's really real. It's more real than all this stuff that's going on in my mind.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of times what we do is, you know, we think we're experiencing reality, but we're really not. We're really experiencing our thoughts about reality.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, the function of that is to keep us from actually being engaged with life in whatever way it presents itself.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So humans are meaning-making machines.
Meaning-making machines, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It ties back in, we can tie it back in pretty easily to what we were talking about a minute ago, too, about the hard times in practice, because there's a belief right there.
Uh-huh.
You know, that there is such a thing as a hard time in practice. There is such a thing as hard.
Uh-huh.
And another one we were examining a minute ago is that life should be easy.
Yes.
You know, there's another belief. So, you know, you have a belief like that, and if it's unquestioned, then it's going to dominate your worldview.
Uh-huh.
You know, life should be easy. I'm not experiencing whatever this thing is that I call easy.
Uh-huh.
So something's wrong, and I feel bad.
Uh-huh.
But without the belief, you know, there isn't anything to hold on to in order to suffer.
Right. Right. If there's no belief, there's nothing to hold on to suffer ever.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So the listener who wrote in was asking about, you know, her experience of cutting her carotid artery and wondering about how can this not be true. And it sounds like what you're pointing at is not that it's not true, but that the beliefs that we bring about life.
Exactly. Yeah, true and not true comes from conditioned mind.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's very hard to talk about because all of our language implies duality, implies things like true and not true.
Yeah.
You know, so I you know, slipped I cut myself a piece of glass and almost really killed myself. Well, that's what happened. But to bring a concept like true to it.
Uh-huh.
It's like trying to apply. Something that doesn't exist to something that exists.
Uh-huh.
You know, this whole thing that we talk about, we call conditioned mind, you know, it's an illusion. It's completely made up.
Yes.
It's just something that we create through habit. You know, and you could talk about it in terms of karma. You know, it's something that's been handed down through the generations that we that we participate in and that we create. And it creates a world that we think is real.
Uh-huh.
But it's not real.
Uh-huh.
What's real? I mean, you can't even say what's real, because real is a concept that comes out of conditioned mind also.
Uh-huh.
It's just, there just is what is.
Uh-huh.
And that's just what is. And everything we add to that is extra.
Right. 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 So true, not true is a duality. Real, not real is another duality.
Mm-hmm.
There's just what is in the moment.
Yeah, that's exactly so.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the only reason that this is even important is because people sacrifice their lives to the duality, to something like real or not real.
Uh-huh.
You know, people do it all the time, constantly.
Yeah.
You know, am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing?
Uh-huh.
Am I the right person or the wrong person? Am I being good or bad? Is this the correct decision or the incorrect decision? What should I be doing with myself?
Uh-huh.
You know, these are all questions that arise in a mind that assumes the reality of what we think,
uh-huh.
of beliefs and assumptions,
uh-huh.
and it creates a world in which we suffer, because there is no such thing as right or wrong or good and bad. There is no way to be a good person or a bad person. There's no such thing.
Uh-huh. That's incredible, and I'm grateful for your reminder of it. Great. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Today, we are extremely fortunate to have Dave McKay, the head monk at the Zen Monastery Practice Center in Murphy's, California. If you'd like to join our conversation today, we'd love to hear from you. The phone lines are open, and the number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-514-2100. So give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you. So we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back in a couple minutes with more of Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to join our conversation today, the number is toll-free, 888-514-2100. We'll be back in a couple minutes with more of Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Excited to have with us today Dave McKay, who's the head monk at the Zen Monastery Practice Center in Murphy's, California. Sherry would love to be here today, and she's stuck at an airport in Colorado. I believe there was a snowstorm out there yesterday, which may be contributing to the travel backup. We'd love to hear from you today. Our phone number here is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-514-2100. So give us a call. And we have a caller, Dave.
Great.
Are you there, Dave?
Yep.
Great. I'd like to welcome Karen. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber and Dave McKay.
Hello.
Hey, Karen.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm calling. It's so good to hear your voice, both of you. I'm calling as a follow-up to last week. I called at the very end of the show, and we were talking. Sherry was encouraging a practice of working with habits and addictions, of doing the activity at a different time of day. She actually said breakfast.
Uh-huh.
It was at the very end of the show, and she said, I think we have time to talk about this. And so there was the encouragement, and all of a sudden out popped from my mouth was, been there, done that, goodbye.
Ah.
And then the show was over. At least, well, who knows? Who knows what happened, because I had hung up. And I sat there in shock. So I wanted to continue the conversation of the idea of shaking up one's way one works with habit by, it's like doing things when you want to, doing things when you don't want to, that little scenario. I spent a little time with that part of my personality who had been there and done that. I put that on my process map as one step. It must, you know, because it was a surprise that it came out of my mouth so quickly.
So have you experimented at all with doing it? Was the encouragement to do it at the same time every day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you tried that?
That's what I wanted to talk about a little bit. It's so interesting to pick a time of day to do something that you don't normally do.
Yeah.
Because there's no enthusiasm for doing it at a particular time of day. That subpersonality isn't there.
Exactly, which is probably the whole point of the encouragement, don't you think?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then you really have a chance to see the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you only do the behavior when the person's there who enjoys doing the behavior,
mm-hmm.
So if it's like, let's say it's a drinker, for example, if you only drink when the drinker's there, you'll never really have a perspective on it because for the drinker, drinking is 100% natural, and it's the only thing that makes sense to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the drinker's there, you just do that, and then that's the only experience you have. But if you drink when the drinker's not there,
mm-hmm.
then you're not in the same place. You're outside of the usual habit, mm-hmm. and so you have a chance to really see it from a completely different point of view.
Exactly. It's such a perfect way to help one disidentify.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what's really... particularly helpful about that is it puts, in this case, you in charge of the behavior, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
rather than your conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, in order to be able to even have the willingness to do whatever the behavior is at a different time, you have to be outside of the whole system that is sort of pushing for that with whatever agenda it does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've also found that it helps to... It really experienced the behavior in the present moment, so that one can say, well, why am I doing this?
Exactly.
Because it doesn't serve the subpersonality who is there.
Exactly.
One could just be so present.
Yeah.
So one gets to actually look and see the suffering.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So if you're just in doing your habit. At the time that the habit normally happens, the who you are when that's going on, would never ask a question like, why am I doing this?
Right.
Because that's just what that person does.
Yeah.
But if you're kind of throwing a monkey wrench in the whole system and saying, well, I'm going to do it at a different time, then it's like in order to make that decision, you have to be separate from and much larger than that whole system that's designed to control you.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, like you say, you can really examine, like, wow, like what's going on with this behavior,
mm-hmm.
and what causes me to feel the way I feel, and why do I decide to do this and not other things, and you know, those kind of questions that might actually reveal something, instead of just kind of going along with the program and suffering the way you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's such a perfect practice for dealing with any bit of our conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had called in to talk about that I've been experimenting with doing things different ways to see what the response would be,
mm-hmm.
and the response was that practice was too hard, and I had gotten caught up in that for months, just in this frame, continuing to practice in that way, but believing. The too hard part of it, and so to hear you speak earlier in the program was so heartwarming.
Right.
Because I was just identified with that voice who was saying practice was too hard.
Yeah, and seeing that, how do you see practice? Seeing that that's just a belief that you have.
Well, that it's just practice is just the way it is.
Right.
So I may, whatever I'm feeling is how I'm feeling.
Right.
And it may be any of the emotions that that a person could feel, or any of the body sensations that a person could feel, and it could even be experiencing the part of me who thinks it's too hard.
Exactly.
And then to practice with her and to embrace her. And so, and in that moment that I can do that, then it's not hard, and I have that sense of well-being again.
Yeah, it's quite the opposite of hard, isn't it?
It is quite the opposite. And for me, keeping my awareness, my attention on the well-being is the practice these days.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Having the attention.
Yeah. And tell me if I'm right. I'm not hearing in that, like, a trying to have a particular experience.
Well, yes. I just as you say that, I was considering my words and thinking that there's someone here looking, that wanting well-being to feel a particular way.
Yeah, it's such a there's such a subtle trap, isn't it?
It is. Because, I'm just really seeing it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because if we're practicing to have a particular result,
mm-hmm.
then the bad news is we're suffering.
We're suffering. Yes, I mean, it's so perfect. Well-being is just a concept in of itself.
That's true. Yep.
So,
yeah, this is why this whole thing that we do is just incredibly fascinating, and why it's worth devoting a life to, from my point of view, because the subtleties like that are endless,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we can approach our lives from the point of view of, you know, I'm not trying to have a particular experience, like we were talking about earlier. I'm not trying to get it right. I'm not trying to somehow get fulfilled in some way that, you know, secretly I know will never even be possible. I just want to be here, mm-hmm. seeing what is.
I don't even care if I feel well-being.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, one of the little magic things in life is if you let go of the need to feel well-being.
Yes.
The result will be
well-being.
It's just one of those magical little truths that you just can't get around.
Ah. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks for calling in.
You'll be in North Carolina a few weeks.
That's right. Come see me.
I will.
Okay, good.
I'll be there.
Okay, take care. Yeah, I'm headed out to North Carolina to do a retreat at Southern Dharma Retreat Center in the beautiful Appalachian Mountains.
Yes.
Great.
Good night.
Good night, Karen.
And, yeah, Dave, to follow up on what you were just saying, all of the retreat information is on the website, which is www.thezencenter.org.
That's right.
So if you're curious about retreats and what's available, go to that website. You can also go to www.sherrihuber.com. That's C-H-E-R-I-H-U-B-E-R.com, and that'll give you all the information about Sherry's schedule and where she's doing retreats and workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Dave, we have another caller here.
Great. Love it.
Great. I'd like to welcome Rebecca. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber and Dave McKay.
Hi, Dave. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi.
I was enjoying listening to what Karen was saying because, and tying in with what the email was, because what came up for me around that was a process of looking at conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And so, in light of the online class that Sherry's been doing, I've been really projecting a lot on why in the world she would want to spend all that time looking at everybody's conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, what, you know, and that she seems so willing and almost eager to,
yeah.
to do
enthusiastic,
that.
Enthusiastic, we could even say.
Huh?
Obsessed. Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, and there's a part of me that was really reacting when you were saying that even, you know, all of this not real construct and duality and all that, and that mm-hmm. is how, you know, how that play, how to I don't know, to find that place where that willingness to just go even into the pits of conditioning.
Right. And how do you, when it, that happens for you, what do you feel like helps to make that possible?
Well, the what's coming up right now is like the right answer is that it's fascinating and the subtleties and all that, but
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't feel like that's where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
that right now it feels like that it's just, I think what's underneath it is a part that wants to get through and get somewhere, which
right.
is a very familiar theme.
Yes,
of,
that's exactly what we've been talking about during this hour, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's one of the forms that conditioning takes, and a way that that conditioning can take practice and use it against us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm practicing in order to have the experience I said if I'm practicing to here.
Yeah. And it feels like that's a very common place that I fall into a lot, where then it becomes like what Karen was describing. It becomes hard, or you know, whatever it's built
mm-hmm.
up about that. Either it's hard, or aren't I so good for doing this, or you know,
yeah.
whatever the story happens to be.
Yeah. Well, it's conditional, isn't it?
Say more.
Well, it's conditional. You know, what's possible for all of us is to have an unconditional relationship with life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another way of saying what we've been talking about this for the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
That we can be in a relationship with life where nothing. Let's see how to say it. Our most intimate experience of ourselves is not dependent upon the circumstances of our life, or even our own experience, kind of like within the shell of our body, like with our feelings and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If our relationship with life is conditional, like I need to feel X in order to be okay.
Or I need to get this place.
What's that?
Or I need to get to this place.
I need to get to this place, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're having a conditional relationship with life.
Yeah.
And the primary result of that, and this is why this is such an important thing for to have happen from the point of view of conditioning, is the result of that is, you know, we live, our whole world becomes conditional.
Yeah.
It throws us into the duality we were talking about earlier. So I'm, like you're saying, I'm going to be, have the right experience or the wrong experience.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I'm going to be the right person or the wrong person. And all those things, it brings the whole world of suffering into existence.
Yeah, and yet my experience of Sherry and of you and being at the monastery is that there is just no end to the, I mean, it's just like I can go round and round and round in guidance or whatever and always end up in the same place and always
uh-huh.
end up in, you know, talking about the same piece of content or the same conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And there never seems to be a care about, you know, an agenda or a irritation or anything around that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, there's no, would you say that there's from the monastery doesn't have the same expectations of you that you have of you.
Exactly.
That you're heading somewhere and you're trying to get someplace, and that's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead,
yeah.
it's just enjoying Rebecca.
Right. What a concept.
Yeah. Yeah, what a concept. Yeah, imagining living life that way.
Yeah.
That, like for me, you know, I'm Dave, so the whole point of my life is I'm not going anywhere. I'm just enjoying Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, in fact, it really isn't a concept. It's a path.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because that ties it in with the email that was read, because, you know, what we're talking about is being here in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, the experience of being here in our lives is the experience of enjoying this person and being with this person and not having an agenda for this person.
Yeah. So I can project, you know, an experience like the person who fell on the glass. You know, I went through some surgery myself, and it's like what came in so often was what I did to cause this for myself or to myself or what I was doing wrong, rather than just compassion for the difficulties that my body was going through.
Right.
And you know, and it was so good to see how that process really kept me from just being with myself and giving myself that kind of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, it's kind of like the ultimate in adding insult to injury.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take this person who's had a really difficult thing happen to her, and we're going to make it her fault so she can feel bad about it.
Yeah, yeah. And then make her do this imaginary plan so it'll never happen again, you know, that won't work.
Yeah. Instead of just sitting there going, wow. Look at where I am right now.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Who would have guessed that this would be going on?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, that sounds kind of fun and enthusiastic. It might not be that at all. It might be, you know, I'm really hurting here.
Yeah.
I'm in a lot of pain. Whatever it is, but allowing ourselves to have the whatever experience that life presents to us,
yeah,
without the assumption that somehow we can control it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somehow, if we're only doing it right, or you know, holding our mouth the right way, then we can make everything come out the way that it's supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such a unfortunate way to live.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good, and it does kind of bring up in me the kind of the willingness that it's just I can go around and around in circles, and circles are just fine. Circles are just as good as a straight line somewhere, you know. And
yep.
And it's perfectly okay.
Yeah, it's better than okay. It's the way it is.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah, so if we're willing to align ourselves with what is, then, you know, the experience is going to be, you know, it's not going to be what conditioning wants. It's not going to be unbroken contentment or bliss or something like that. It's going to be way better than that. It's going to be alive.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in.
You bet. Bye.
Hi. Thanks for calling us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Today we are very fortunate to have Dave McKay with us. Dave's the head monk at the Zen Monastery Practice Center in Murphy. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back in just a moment with more of Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Coming up next on Open Air will be our final segment of today's show. We had a little late start today due to some technical challenges, so we'll be going about 10 minutes past the hour today. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and today we're excited to have Dave McKay with us. Sherry's stuck in an airport in Colorado. Dave is the head monk at the Zen Monastery Practice Center in Murphy, California, and it's been a great show so far today, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found it really fascinating. We started out talking about what we've been calling difficulties in practice or challenges in life when things come up. And it's really great to get the perspective of practice on that. It's like, how do we know that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've had a couple great calls, and we have another caller here now. Good. I'd like to welcome Rod. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber and Dave McKay.
Hi there.
Hey, Rod.
Hi. How you doing, Dave?
Great. How are you?
Not too bad. It's good to talk to you. I had the great pleasure of meeting Sherry Huber about 3 years ago, and it was nice to have met her and had a chance to listen to her. It kind of gave clarification to some of the process that we go through and some of the journeys that we encounter in life.
Mm-hmm.
I have a challenge right now. On the part of the journey that I'm going through right now is that I'm trying to decide.
Rod, could you speak up just a little bit?
Sure.
Thanks.
I'm in the process of right now on the journey of trying to buy real estate, and I seem to be going in and out of my decision and stuff like that. And I'm just wondering if I fail to recognize fear in this process, that fear is hampering me from making a decision.
Uh-huh. Does that feel like what's going on?
I'm not sure. I'm not too sure if I recognize it as fear, or maybe I'm just overanalyzing my choices.
Mm-hmm. Well, what actually happens? Like, what experience do you end up with as a result of whatever process that you're doing?
Well, I feel frustrated because I can't make a decision. I can't seem to decide and commit to do something. I just seem to have more questions than I do have answers, and I don't seem to make a decision as to which way I want to do it.
Right. What does that provide for you, if you could look at it that way, not being able to make a decision?
I don't know if it provides me with anything. I don't know if it's.
In the sense that kind of so you go back and forth, there's a decision, and you end up feeling frustrated, you said.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Not really. It just seems like I can't seem to move forward.
Right.
Right. I can't seem to move forward, and I was wondering if that's something that there's a deep, hidden, embedded fear of me making a decision.
Uh-huh. Well, a lot of times, now I don't know. You'd have to look for yourself and see what's going on. But I talk to a lot of people who describe something, with different contents. It might not be real estate. It could be any number of things, but exactly the same process where, there's a duality, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's one side of duality. It feels like, this on this side, well, this is what the thing to do. Then there's the other side, and this is the thing to do, and those two things are in contradiction to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're somehow supposed to take those things that contradict each other and make the right choice out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up paralyzing us, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And what people often get to is that, fear is often something that's involved, but it's not so much a fear of making the wrong decision, although that's often how it gets presented.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of people, it's the fear of actually getting what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you at all?
I kind of went through that process as well, and I'm just wondering, because sometimes I even say that I don't know what I want.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I think that's part of the reason why I'm having such a hard time deciding what I want to do.
Exactly. Yeah, that's part of the paralysis, isn't it?
Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if that's, if it is a fear of getting what I want.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's where I'm trying to become more aware of my emotions, whether
uh-huh.
it's fear or whether it's a process of wanting.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I'm trying to decide which one is which, so I can maybe move forward beyond this part of the journey here.
Right.
And
do you have a sense of what the perspective is that you're sort of coming from as you're approaching this? Like, do you have an agenda, for example, as you look at this?
Well, I mean, the agenda is that I want to start living rent-free, as it were. I've got some capital here that I want to do something with.
Uh-huh.
A little bit more, other than just sitting in the bank. Not that it's not doing bad sitting in the bank, but it was a decision for me to move forward with it. So that's what I decided to do. And then as I'm doing this, it just seems like I'm not doing anything with it now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's
what I'm trying to decide, whether it's the process of me wanting something, or is it, or am I afraid of making the wrong decision, or something like that?
Right.
And I'm trying to decide. I'm trying to.
Now, one thing that's true is you're never actually going to be able to figure this out.
I realize that.
that's part of the trap.
Yeah.
So we have this thing. There's a situation going on, and the assumption is, there's a right answer. There's something to figure out about it, and so I'm going to become an I who attempts to accomplish that.
Right.
And, all that does is it just keeps us, that's a part of the stuck.
Yeah.
That's a part of the paralysis.
Yeah.
So instead, what would it be like to consider, instead of trying to have something particular happen, either in the content of it, like to live rent-free, or more kind of in sense of your feeling, I don't know what you would get from that, but maybe like a sense of security or a sense of freedom or something like that. Rather than approaching it with some kind of an agenda like that, to approach it from a place of, I don't know. I'm really interested in what life has to offer me in this situation instead of what I want.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Do you have a sense of what that would be like?
Well, I'm just trying to get my brain to think from that different angle, to stop thinking out from my eye.
Right.
I'm trying to think of from that point. I'm just trying to get my brain wrapped around that.
Mm-hmm.
To think about that. I think it's something that I'm going to have to stop and to really stop to think about that.
Yeah.
Give myself a chance to see how I feel about that.
Yeah, and if it's possible to do it without thinking, that's even the best thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what we, from my point of view anyway, what we want is, it's never in the content of life.
Right.
It always seems like it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's I want this, you know, I want to live rent-free, or I, whatever the piece of content is. Mm-hmm. But that's, it's never what we want. What we want is to be aligned with what life wants for us, if you're willing to talk about it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we keep ourselves from that is by, you know, like a, we'll have a debate about the right thing to do, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the duality. You know, that's really effective in keeping us from being open to whatever is actually in front of us. So the trick, and this is the hardest thing in the entire world, and it's also the simplest thing in the entire world, is to be willing just to let go of all of that, knowing that something's going to happen. And, you know, I might be heading in a direction and going for something that feels like would be what I want in the content, but knowing that's not really my orientation. That's not my focus in life. My focus in life is to be open to actually what's here, and to allow life to give me whatever in its great generosity it feels like
mm-hmm.
it would like to make available.
And then I guess the next part is just is being able to recognize that too.
Exactly.
Being able to recognize what is presented to you and whether that is the next step for you.
Yeah, that's true. And also being willing to go through the fear, because fear is a big part of that process, a part of the process of learning how to align ourselves with life, because our what we call conditioned mind is terrified of that.
Right.
Because if you allow yourself to just be here, where conditioned mind doesn't exist, it's gone. You know, it doesn't exist, and you receive everything that you could ever imagine. Now, you don't receive what you want in the content of things, but you receive everything that you want in the process of things. That's where the kind of the true fulfillment comes from. And this thing that we call conditioned mind that has the only function really of trying to cause us to suffer, you know, it's going to be terrified of that possibility. So it's just handy to remember that, you know, when I'm experiencing fear, it's actually not my fear. It's the fear of that system that's designed to keep me small and keep me deprived of the thing that I most want in my heart.
How would you recognize that fear, that you are going through that process of fear?
How would we recognize it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the most fundamental part of practice is just letting go of thought and coming back to the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back to, you know, the physical reality. So you don't actually, the trick, and you'd have to look and see, I'm sensing a part of what you're struggling with is the assumption that you can know this thing, whatever it is. And we really can't. We can't know it from conditioned mind. We have to allow ourselves just to be and just trust in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, you know, it's just, we watch ourselves get caught up in conditioned mind. You know, we're telling ourselves a story, like we're in the debate, maybe. Well, I should get that piece of property, or I shouldn't get that piece of property, or whatever it is. Back and forth, and recognizing, wait a second, there is nothing to figure out here. You know, the thing I'm looking for does not exist in this debate. It exists in letting go of the debate, and just being here, and then taking that step forward, whatever it happens to be, and then seeing what happens.
Okay. So you just got to keep going through the process and not worrying about whether or not you're making a decision or not, just let it happen.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people will tell you, and I'm one of them, that, you know, I've never actually made a decision in my entire life. It's often seemed like I did,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, that whole process that we go through of, you know, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that, is irrelevant to the actual decision. The decision happens in the moment. It's just, there's a thing in front of me, and I go there, or I don't go there, whatever that thing happens to be.
Right.
So the willingness to drop all of the debate, you know, if we drop all of the stuff that goes on our mind to distract us from ourselves, then we receive ourselves, and that's what we really want. We just want to be with ourselves. We want to experience ourselves and the life that's living through us. And then once we have that, okay, well, now what do I want to do? And, I think I'll buy that piece of property. Okay. We don't have the investment in it because we don't need it anymore to get what we want, because we're starting from a place where we have what we want.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay.
All right.
That makes...
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for answering my questions, Dave, and then have a nice night.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye now.
Thanks so much for joining us, Rod. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Today we've had the great good fortune to have Dave McKay with us. Dave is the head monk at the Zen Monastery Practice Center in Murphy's, California. Sherry is stuck today at an airport in Colorado from a snowstorm, I believe. Dave, the show's been really fascinating to me, and we have a couple minutes here. And one thing that's been coming up for me is this this notion of trying to get through something.
Uh-huh.
There's this place that I'm in, and I just can't stand it, and I'm trying to get through it, you know?
Uh-huh.
So even though at some level, you know, I'm practicing and I'm breathing, there's another agenda there.
Yeah.
Which is
that somehow what's going on is not okay, would
exactly.
you say?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's easy to have a lot of sympathy for that, you know, isn't it? Because it's probably, if it's something difficult, it's probably painful. You know, there's a lot of feeling associated with it, I imagine, no matter what it is, really.
Yes.
And we're very deeply trained to leave any experience that that calls upon us to calls upon our adequacy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, another thing I was thinking about today is, you know, you can tell by the amount of the power of the difficulty that you're having, you can tell from that the power of the possibility that's there.
Wow.
Because, you know, the experience, you know, quote, hard is resisting the transformation that's going on.
Uh-huh. Wow. Wow.
Does that seem, as you look at your situation, does that seem possible?
To my conditioned mind, it doesn't seem possible. And, you know, there's a lot of faith and trust that's been built up from practice.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, seems like we practice in good times and bad times.
Yes.
Whatever somebody labels as good times and bad times.
Yeah, and something you've really got going for you is you've had a lot of experience with practice, so you know that that these kinds of experiences come and go.
Yes.
You get a sense that, this is what life's all about.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes I feel like everything's going the way I want to. I feel joyful. I feel wonderful. Other times, oh, my gosh, how did I get here? This is terrible. This is not at all what I want.
Yes.
But it's all life.
Yes.
And so if we're willing to not take our lives personally, which is a very big if, but uh-huh. but possible for all of us, if we're willing to not take our lives personally, then there's the freedom. I'm free to have whatever experience I have, and knowing that it's all a part of my, if I'm doing practice, it's all a part of my transformation.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Fascinating. Great, Dave, we have one more caller here. If we'd like to take one quick short call at the end.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
Great. I'd like to welcome Beth from Indiana. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Beth.
Is this Dave?
Yep.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I've recently left the monastery. I'm having a hard time hearing.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, okay.
Okay.
I've been watching a tendency I have toward going toward the victim.
Uh-huh. Very popular.
Yeah, but not so much fun.
No, not at all.
It seems like I get a little bit scared.
Uh-huh.
And I just immediately drop into it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. At this point, I'm just kind of noticing that I've done it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
As opposed to having any sort of freedom from it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And is there, do you kind of understand why you do that?
Well, it's served me in the past.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's safe, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's protected.
Not my fault.
It's also very small and unhappy and not at all open to all the possibilities in life. But,
exactly.
But if we don't have the wherewithal within ourselves to be aligned with all the possibilities of our life, it's a really good choice.
It's kind of like a habit,
mm-hmm.
where it doesn't feel like there's much choice in it, although I'm catching it.
Right.
But it's more like, you know, there it just was.
Yeah, exactly. You catch on to it after it's happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but it's kind of like, it's just what I do.
Uh-huh. Well, it's like you say, it's a habit.
Right.
And, you know, and it's a survival habit, too. That's what makes it so difficult to catch on to.
Right.
Because, you know, if you've probably been doing it ever since you were about knee-high. Don't you think?
Yeah, and it's really served me in the past.
Mm-hmm. It really has. I mean, yeah, that's good to say. It really has. You know, at some point in your life, you were a really small person, and there were some big people around, and things that were happening that were not at all easy to deal with, and so you learned how to be a victim in order to survive those.
Right.
That's okay.
But it's not what I want to do anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't serve you anymore.
Right.
Yeah, that's really true.
Yeah, and it almost kind of, there's almost like a trance feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, it's like, I'm not there.
Yeah, yeah. Is it kind of like being underwater?
Yeah.
This is like, oh, you know, I'm about 3 feet outside of my body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like there's another option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I would imagine that you're speaking from the other option right now. Would you agree?
I've been sitting.
You've been sitting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, I mean, the reason I know that is because if you were being a victim right now, especially if you were being a victim of the monastery, I don't know if that's part of the victim that's been going on, but there's no way you'd be calling the head monk on the radio. Right?
That's true.
Yeah.
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 And wanting freedom from it.
You're wanting freedom from it. Right.
Because there's no, I mean, it's like I'm presented with a situation, and by going into the victim, there's just no option to the, there's no solution, there's no movement.
Yep.
There's nothing. It's just everything kind of stops, but not in the way it does in meditation.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the price that we pay for something like a survival behavior like the victim. We get to be small, and we get to be safe, but we also get to be completely disassociated from life.
Right.
It's part of the price that we have to pay.
Exactly.
And what you've gotten for yourself is you're not willing to pay that price anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of tasted what it can be like.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like out here, there's just so many options and, you know, things to take care of.
Uh-huh.
That it's easy to kind of, you know, fall into habit.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, to take it back to an earlier part of our conversation, there's a lot of stuff to believe.
There's a lot of stuff to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, a lot of stuff to believe. A lot of stuff that seems real.
Yep.
But of course, you know, I mean, you know, after having spent a fairly extended period of time at the monastery, I mean, it becomes obvious really quick around here that actually none of that stuff is real. It's all made up.
Yeah.
And yeah, seeing that, that's the reason people do monastic practice, is because that's just so obvious. Everything that I'm bringing to my life that is not well-being is something that I'm contributing to life. It's extra. Life is well-being. The experience of being here is the experience of well-being.
Yes.
I'm going to have to jump in here.
Okay.
To end our conversation.
Nice to hear from you, Beth. Take care of yourself.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we've had the great good fortune of having Dave McKay with us. Dave is the head monk at the Zen Monastery Practice Center in Murfreesboro, California. Dave, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. I really enjoyed it.
Great. I'd like to thank all of our listeners and all of our callers today. If you'd like to reach us when we're off the air, you can send us an email to openair@livingcompassion.org, and we'll talk to you all again next week. Goodbye.